Praise the Lord, church. Matthew 21 and 18. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he being Jesus, he became hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only fig leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Amen. Lord, I give you glory and honor today, oh God. Lord, we lift you up right now, oh God. That, Lord, that your word will go forth, oh God Almighty, Lord Jesus, Lord, and that you would have your way, oh God. Lord, bless this service today, oh God, that your spirit will continue to move amongst your peoples, oh God. Lord, continue, oh God, to minister to your people as you've done today. Lord, we give you glory in Jesus' name. You may be seated. We often think about all the scriptures, and every time that you've been compelled to show faith, and you've been asked to believe and to trust in God and to have faith, and what it is it's our foundational, one of our foundational principles. We do this because we believe and we have faith. There are so many lessons on faith. So we must not only believe that Jesus is our Messiah, that Jesus loves us, that Jesus died for us, that we can be with him. We have to now show faith in trusting in the Word of God and moving forward. But today my focus is not on faith. Today I want to speak to you about doubt. So often in just churches in general, doubt is treated as such a bad word. We can't have doubts. Even in the scripture we just read, it says, if you have faith and you have no doubts, then not only can you do these things. God says, show no doubt. So we say, I don't doubt. I believe. Word of God says, have faith. So I say, I have faith. I don't question that. I just trust and I have faith. And sometimes we get confused, and if we show signs of doubt or we show signs of hesitation or questioning, well, that must mean I don't have faith. And if I don't have faith, that must mean I'm not saved, or does this mean if I have some doubts today, or am I a bad Christian if I have doubts? What God always does so well is that he meets us at our human condition. He meets us where we're at. He doesn't ask us to be perfect. He doesn't ask us to be ready to go. He asks us to meet him. Allow him to come to us. Put forth that sign that we are ready. And then we start that walk. There's different kinds of doubts that we can have. But the problem is that we don't ever want to address those doubts, because to address those doubts is to acknowledge something is wrong, is to acknowledge that I don't have it together. And that's what pride does to us sometimes. We can't even speak to one another. We can't even acknowledge that we're going through things, because I don't want you to know I'm struggling. I don't want you to know that I'm having a situation. I don't want you to think any less of me. We believe that saying that we believe in becoming a Christian means that we are super saints from day one, and that there's not like a journey or a process or progress to go. So today I want to reflect that if you have doubts, you're not alone. Doubts, like any other emotion, like any other feeling, is a part of humanity. It's a part of who we are. Just as sometimes we can't but get angry at situations, or we can't help but get frustrated, or we can't help to have joy and to have happiness. There are emotions that we just can't help but to have. It's what we do with those. So same as doubt. And the truth is, no one is immune to doubts. No one is absolutely blocked off from having doubts ever in their life. It can happen, and it does happen to all of us at some point, at some point again, and maybe we do a really good time, but something new happens, and then here it is that feeling or that hesitation, is that doubt. And if we look throughout the Bible, the greatest men and the greatest women in all of the Bible, they started out, either the Bible explicitly shows doubt, or if you just think of the scope of what these great men and women of the Bible have done, there, if you think in humanity terms, there is nothing but the option of having some doubt. Abraham and Sarah promised a child in their old age. How about we just think about this in our terms? How would we feel about that? Sometimes we take these men and women of the Bible and we treat them as if they're superheroes and superstars of the faith, and like they didn't have to grow into that faith. In their old age, I just can imagine, you know, God talking to Abraham, and Abraham looking at his wife. I said, I don't think God knows that we have a cutoff time. I don't think God knows. I mean, there's, you know, there's a time and there's not a time. I don't think, and Abraham expressed doubt. He expressed doubt when he had Ishmael. How about Moses doubted his ability to lead, his ability to do a work of God. God's telling him, you're going to go back and you're going to free your people. And Moses is like, Lord, I stutter. I'm not eloquent. I can't lead. I have a peaceful life. I tend sheep. You're asking me to go so far outside of what I'm comfortable with. How could he not have doubt? How could that not be an inkling there? I'm trying to humanize doubt. It happens. I can't control when I get angry sometimes. How am I going to control sometimes when doubt comes in and situations happen in my life? But we don't want to talk about it because that means that I may not be the Christian that I want to portray I am. You can't talk about doubt without talking about Thomas. Oh, what a tremendously bad rap for Thomas. He wasn't there. And if we think about Thomas's situation, Thomas wasn't just doubting. Thomas was hurting. He was one of God's disciples. He one of Jesus' disciples. He was learning with him and training with him. He was friends with him. Jesus was mentoring him. He was taking him to a new plane of just thinking and how and just how he was living his life. And that person that he loved, he saw that person get beat. He saw that person get hurt. He saw that person die before him, not being able to control anything. This God who was able to do everything, there was nothing before Jesus that he wasn't able to overcome or accomplish. He saw that. How would that make you feel in that situation? Thomas wasn't just a doubter. Thomas was hurting. He was confused. He was grieving. So it comes and tells me, hey, Jesus is alive. No, don't do that to me. You don't know what I went through. I can't handle that right now. This is one of Jesus' 12. But we're supposed to be super sane. We're not allowed to doubt or have hesitation in our walk. We say we have faith because I believe, so I have faith. Bible says a mustard seed, so I'm good to go. I don't ever have problems or situations. A lot of times you just think about the Bible and maybe it doesn't even mention doubt, but how can it not have doubt? Gideon has an army ready to fight the Midianites. He has 22,000 versus 120,000. I have doubt right there. Lord, I am in trouble. But you know what, God? You've brought me through. We've gone through some battles. Lord, you've always been faithful. And God says, hold on a second. You may think this is you. You may think this is you, so you're going to go give some people a chance to come out. So Gideon goes, oh, well, if you are afraid or you have fear, you know, go home. 12,000 men had doubt. They went home. Now it's 10,000 to 120,000. And that wasn't enough. I'm Gideon, Lord. I don't know if you understand how math works, but that's one person to every, like, four 5, 6, he said, God's telling him, well, the odds are still too good for you. We're going to do something else. And now Gideon's army's been trimmed down to 300. I am basking in doubts right now. I am a regular person. Gideon wasn't a superstar. He was someone who just walked step by step in faith and allowed God to use him and allowed God to move through him. And I'm telling you, if you cannot think of these insurmountable odds without thinking there had to have been some sort of doubt. But we don't talk about it. We're super saying. Okay. Noah building an ark. You know, Noah building. Let's start with Noah. Lord, you're telling me water's going to come from the sky. How long is it going to take me to build this boat? Water is going to come. Okay, so he starts working on it. People around him calling him crazy, thinking he's crazy. Sons, come here. I want to talk to you about something. God told me that water is going to come from the sky. I'm one of Noah's sons. I think dad is missing some medication. I think dad is getting of old age right now. You know what? We should start doing more around our home helping him out. He just quite literally can't handle his list of responsibilities. And then they got to tell their wives. Yeah, dad says we're building a boat. Water's going to come from the sky. No, apparently it comes from the sky now. It comes. How about the walls of Jericho? Joshua, victory after victory. He goes and he sees what he's never seen before, these walls in this city, and it's impressive. But you know what? I buy Joshua may not have doubted right there. Joshua probably, you know what? God's been faithful. He's seen us through. God, I'm going to believe in you, and you're going to give me a plan. Let's take this to 2018. It's Joshua, and he got instructions from God, and now Joshua's going to have a staff meeting. Okay, Staff Joe, this is the plan. That city's coming down. Whew. Joshua has a plan. Joshua says that city's coming down. He said it before. It's going to happen. I am excited. What's the plan? Well, the first thing we're going to do, hold on, Joshua, what's the plan, Joshua? We're going to walk around the city. Walk. Reconnaissance, I like this. No, Joe Stafford. The entire army is going to walk around the city. Oh, all of us. We are going to be impressive. We're going to show them we are not scared. That's exciting. Great, what's next? Then tomorrow, we're going to do it again. Okay. And then, what's next? And all right, Stafford Joe, tomorrow we're going to walk around that city again. How many times do we do this, by the way? 6 times? Oh, what's after that? Well, on the 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times. You know, that's a city, Joshua, not a block. We're walking around a city, Joshua. Yes, we're going to do it 7 times. And then what? Then we're going to get loud. I, by Joshua, may have had that faith. But I am Joe Stafford. I don't know what he is thinking right now. This is not how we have done it before. This is not how our previous victories were. You know what? I might have some doubt right now. I think I'm validated. It's a little bit of doubt right now. Throughout the Bible, you cannot do some of the impressive things. You can't let God just use you in these ways and not expect there not to be some doubts. They didn't start out super soldier. They started out regular person. They were built to that level of faith with God. John the Baptist. Luke 7 and 18. The disciples of John the Baptist soon heard of all Jesus was doing, and they went and they told John about it. John's in jail. John ran his mouth to Herod. Herod threw him in jail. He's probably been there for a couple years. Verse 19, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you really the Messiah, or shall we keep on looking for him? The two disciples found Jesus while they were curing many sick people of their various diseases, healing the lame and the blind and casting out evil spirits. When they asked him John's question, this was his reply. This was what Jesus said. Go back to John and tell him all you have seen and heard here today. How those who are blind can see, the lame or walking without a limb, the lepers are completely healed. The deaf can hear again. The dead came back to life, and the poor are hearing the good news. Tell him, blessed is the one who does not lose his faith in me. Do you hear that? I'm Jesus. But John's circumstances changed. He's in jail, and now he's questioning, well, who is John? John committed his entire life to preparing the way for Christ. He knew who Jesus was. He spent 30 years preparing for a ministry that would last about 6 months. John is the one who saw Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. The anointing on his life had to be exponentially powerful. People were coming from all over into the desert to hear what John had to say. He lived a life of separation. He would say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And God had revealed to him what through a visible sign from heaven he would know who the Christ was. He would see the Spirit of God descending on the Messiah in the form of a dove. And that came when John baptized Jesus. At this time, there is no doubt. There's not a hesitation. There's not even an inkling. This is Jesus. This is what my life has been amounting to up until this point. I was preparing the way for you, for him. I saw and bear the record that this is the Son of God. John 1:34. One mightier than I cometh, the latchet on whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. Luke 3:16. John knows who this is. And this is what Jesus thinks of John. Verily I say to you, Matthew 11:11. Among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Of anybody and everyone who was born, there is none greater than John the Baptist. And he questioned if this was really the Messiah. Trials happened. Situations happened. And that brought the greatest of them to a point of doubt. But we still have a hard time saying, you know what, I'm struggling. I know God has promised for me, but I just don't feel it right now. I just don't feel like that promise is for me right now. John, greater than Abraham and Joseph and Moses, greater than David. He doubted the most important thing. Was this the Messiah, the culmination of his life's work? So the truth of today is, if we're going to be honest about it, I doubt. I have hesitations. Situations come in my life and I get frustrated. And I know the right answer. I know the things I should be doing, but I second guess myself because things don't seem to be going the way that I thought they would be going or the way they should be going. So yes, it's easy to say, you know, just have faith. And that's what we need. We need faith in our lives. We need faith in our walks with God. But what do we do with this doubt? What do we do with this doubt? We're too afraid to acknowledge that it's ours. We're too afraid to say that I may struggle with it sometimes, or that I'm going through things, or in my walk with God, I am seeing new things that I've never seen before. So those new things may cause a little doubt or a little hesitation. First thing we have to do is we have to acknowledge that we have it. This has to be the part of you where you're just not ashamed anymore to say, I have doubts creeping in my heart. There are things in my life, the burden is heavy. It is weighing on my heart and I feel doubt. That doesn't make us a bad person. It doesn't make us a bad Christian. It doesn't make us instantly a sinner because we've acknowledged that there is doubt. It makes us human, and it says that God still has a work to do with us. that God is still molding us and perfecting us for his work. We have so much pride sometimes that we refuse to acknowledge we're struggling. Now we have to own the problem. We've acknowledged it right now. We have to own it. There are things that we need to do to make sure that we are addressing this doubt. And we're not just letting it linger and fester, but we're addressing this thing. And the truth is, doubt is usually not the underlying problem. It's using the result of situations or trials. It's usually the result of something new happening, conflict and struggle. And as we grow with God, we're going to see new things that we have not seen before. What I struggled with when I was new in Christ is not the same thing I'm going to struggle with 10 years, or it shouldn't be. We should not be having doubt or struggling with the same 10 things, but God's bringing us to a new place, and he's bringing us to a new work. So you know what? We're going to need to know how to work and deal with certain situations and how to handle certain things, because there are people out there who need Christ. And God needs to have a people who are ready to receive them and understand and have love and have compassion. We can take our doubt to prayer. Lord, I am struggling right now. I know that this shouldn't be a problem, but I am doubting and I'm hesitant, Lord God. I feel like you said you had a promise for your people, but Lord, right now I don't feel like it's for me. I don't feel like you meant for Rob right now. We can take our doubts and our problems to our pastor. He has given us pastors and teachers to counsel us and to lead us. And I'll be honest with you, it's so much simpler than you think. Just have a conversation and share your life. You don't even got to tell them I'm all messed up or I'm all hurting, I'm doing all this wrong. Just share with them what you're doing in your life, and he will find the ways to pastor you. He'll find the way to say, hey, you know, this might be a better look. This might help you on the long run. Hey, you know what? I went through something like that, and you know, and that caused me some trouble. You might want to think about this way. It's not as hard as we make it seem sometimes. We take our doubts to the Word, because the Word of God, it encourages us and it strengthens us. Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We want to build in faith. We have to address the doubts. And the Word says that if we go to, you know, faith comes by hearing and by the Word of God. The Word has your answers for you. Psalm 62 and 5, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. I feel like God's going to take care of me right now. I feel like I'm protected and safe with God right now. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. The Word of God has our answer sometimes. But if we never get to the point where we have to acknowledge in ourselves that we are struggling, there is doubt that's creeping in our hearts, we're not going to look for the answer. We have to take time to be amongst the body. God has provided you a time to be here for the man of God to come and speak and to pour into your life. You don't have to acknowledge nothing. You just got to show up and let the Holy Ghost start working and ministering into you. But sometimes we make excuses from being here because, oh, well, I'm struggling. I have all this doubt. I don't want nobody to know. But your answer was with the body the whole time. We have to make time for fellowship. If you've been part of these small groups, you have had opportunities and weekly scheduled times to be amongst fellow Christians, fellow saints, fellow people, regular people who are struggling too and who are in different parts of their life. And you know, if you just listen to them, they think about things differently. They've approached things differently. I've learned so much just from listening to people talk about what they're going through. You know, I never even thought about it that way. And that may change how I reflect on this whole situation. We have so many opportunities for God to minister to us and for God to reach us with the answers for these doubts. So if I ask you to acknowledge these doubts, I've asked you to own it, to start working on those steps that God's given us. Now I'm telling you to use it. Google defines doubt as a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. The Bible defines faith as, in Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't know logically and in the capacity of how we understand things that doing these things are going to work. It's faith. We are living in a realm of uncertainty. If you are walking in faith, or if you are saying you have faith in God, you are saying, despite the uncertainty, I'm going to do what God has instructed me to do, because I believe that even though I don't understand how it all works out, He has it all laid out for me. And that it is the best plan. It should be my first plan. If the situations were certain, if we knew how this is going to work out, we don't need faith. Faith wouldn't apply. Faith, believing, trusting in God, not simply knowing. So right now, when we take the uncertainty of our situation and that doubt and reservation that we have, and we add the steps of growing our faith, the word and scripture, and spending time with the saints and teaching, and we add in an act of faith, even though we don't quite understand. We add in an act of faith. I don't get it, but God told me to walk here. I don't see nothing, but I'm going to walk here. When we add that to our doubt, we get an equation that helps us to increase faith. Faith isn't simply saying, I believe, I have faith. Or I have faith that God is all, I have faith. You don't show you have faith unless you are stepping out and acting in faith. And if we are acting in faith, that means there's a whole lot of uncertainty. There's a whole lot of questions that I might just be stepping on my way to God. And as God starts to deal with those things and deal with the situations and deal with the problems, we now know what that answer is. That becomes a situation that no longer incurs doubt, because God has shown himself to be faithful. We've stepped out and acted on faith, and God in turn shows us to be faithful. He shows us that he is there and that he is on time. So what am I saying? I'm saying we need a little doubt. If we're not growing in God and there are no situations, there should be some little bit of doubt to step on. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's that new situation that I have never seen. It doesn't look familiar to me. That is that wall that I've never had to take down. That is a boat that I've never had to build, because water does not come from the sky. That's what that is. That's that staff meeting that says that we're going to walk around the city, not a block. You understand it's not a block? It's a city. And then we're going to get loud. That is the answer. That is logical in this realm. But it's walking out on what we just don't understand or we just don't know. And God meets us with faithfulness. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. If God has given you a victory today, he has allowed you to overcome something, you are on to the next thing, because you are growing. Growing is struggle. Growing is hardships. Growing is learning. Growing is adjusting the way you are thinking. I don't think the same way my daughter thinks. My daughter is 2. If I thought the same way she did, I have no right having a daughter. It doesn't make sense. My daughter thinks that as long as she says up, that I have a capacity to pick her up. She doesn't know I'm tired. She doesn't know if I'm sore. She doesn't know if I'm asleep. She don't care. She'll just hit me until I wake up. Daddy, wake up. That's the world she lives in. When you're an adult, all that's kind of rude. We are growing in this faith. But we have to acknowledge the doubts. Faith is shown and acted upon. I can't imagine any show of faith bigger than saying, none of this makes sense, Lord. What you're asking me to do is not logical. Lord, you've given me a sound mind, right? I should understand why I am making these steps over here when I want to be over there. But I don't understand. But doing it and trusting that God's going to take care of it for you, that's acting in faith. That might mean when you're financially hardships are happening right now, and you got to choose between paying your tithes and paying a bill and some grocery money, and you said, you know what, God, you said my first tenth. You said the first. So, Lord, if I'm going to give this, I'm going to believe that you're going to take care of it. That's acting in faith. Acting in faith is when the world feels like it's coming at you and all you want to do is quit and not show up and not be a part and not serve. Acting in faith is saying, you know what, Lord, if it's a sacrifice of praise today, you're still going to get some praise today. I'm still going to come into your house, and I'm still going to give of my time and my energy. And Lord, if I got no sleep last night, Lord, I'm still going to raise my hands because, Lord, you are so worthy. It's how we show faith. Mark 9 reads of a situation. It's a desperate father who is coming to Jesus to heal his son. His son is possessed with, the Bible says, an unclean spirit, amongst other things. It's causing him to be mute. He can't speak. He can't articulate how he's feeling and thought. He's having convulsions and gnashing in teeth and rolling around the floor. His son has been afflicted since childhood. This is this son's reality, and that is that father's reality. For as long as that father can remember, this is who his son is. And it's hard, and it hurts, and it's frustrating, and I'm grieving for my son, who will never know a normal life. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, so he finds Jesus, he says, you ask Jesus, you know, to heal and touch his son. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But help thou mine unbelief. God, I want this so much. I want this so bad with every fiber in me. But Lord, this is the only reality that I know. And it's going to hurt at the idea that this might be true and then not happen. So Lord, while I want to believe, oh God, Lord, help my unbelief. He wraps up everything right here. He is acknowledging. He's owning it. Lord, I need your help with this unbelief, Lord. Here he is. Here is my act of faith. And then Jesus does what he does to the Father. Does it make sense? This is the only reality I know. And this man named Jesus comes around, and people are saying he's healing everybody. He's touching everybody. The deaf are hearing. The blind are seeing. How can he do that? That doesn't make any sense. My reality only knows this. My son is possessed of an unclean spirit. He cannot speak. He cannot barely think. He is in pain on the ground, convulsing. That is his life. So while he was still believed in Jesus and wanted everything inside of him to believe, it was so hard for him to see that outcome, but he gave that doubt to God. He still gave that doubt to God. Lord, I believe. Help me mine unbelief. And when you give those things to God, I believe in that moment, he started to believe more and to believe more, and faith started to build because he gave it to the, he gave it to God, and that he and adding into his act and step of faith. That is what we do with doubts. Doubt has two paths. You can take two paths with doubt. This doubt, it's either you're going to work with this doubt or you're not. You're either going to acknowledge it and address it, or you're not. It's either going to lead you to a life of belief, or it's going to lead you to a life of unbelief. It's going to either lead you to a life of faithfulness. Lord, I don't understand, but I will be faithful. Or it's going to leave you to a life of unfaithfulness. And if you think you can stand idle by and do nothing, you are wrong. Because those who do nothing, the unfaithful path will take you on it. For those who decide, I don't want to make a choice, the unbelief path will take you on it. If you are new to Church of Pentecost and you want to check what we were about and you're deciding whether am I going to believe or not believe, am I going to keep coming or not coming? Well, if you don't make the decision, you chose not to believe or come back. To believe takes action. To have faith takes action. You got to move. You got to do something. When we don't deal with doubt quickly, let's just think this through, okay? Because I asked you guys to understand that doubt itself does not make you wrong or bad. We need to acknowledge and address. We are humans. We are working toward that perfection in the spirit, but we're going to get new looks and see new things that we've never seen before. If we acknowledge it, we have to deal with it quickly. Because when you don't deal with doubt, it festers. It begins to go bad and sour. It leads to frustration and anger. It leads to that life of unbelief. You question one thing about God. Well, God, I don't know if you're going to really take care of the situation. That's 10 steps away from God. I don't even know if you're here now. I don't even know if you hear me now. Unfaithfulness requires nothing because you do nothing. You never make that step. You never make that move. You never step out and act in faith. Unbelief requires nothing. We got to choose what our story says and who we are. So often our pastor's up here and he's teaching us. And he's telling us and he's giving us new looks. And every once in a while, a pastor says, let me be pastor. And I hope we're listening in those moments, because those are times of the conversation that pastor doesn't want to offend or hurt, but he has to be pastor. Because if we are not addressing the doubts that come with this life, come with humanity, God meets us at our humanity and elevates. If we are not addressing those things, we are stagnant. If we never hit a new situation, I'm telling you, you're not growing. If new situations have not come your way, if you're not getting new looks of things that you haven't even considered before, you need to start working on that point right there. I just want to take a moment and pray. If everyone would just stand for me for a moment. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you, O God, would see us, O God, for what we really are, O God. We are humans struggling in a fight, O God. Hallelujah, Lord, to be more than ourselves, O God, to fight off, O God, the influences of this world and be everything that you've called us to be, O God. But in the midst of that, O God, doubt creeps into our hearts, O God, and we must be above that, O God, and address it, O God, and trust it with you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we have two paths to take, oh God. Are we going to take the path of faithfulness, oh God? Just because I don't understand or I don't know what's going to be, oh God, but I'm going to keep giving to your kingdom, oh God. I'm going to keep serving in your kingdom, oh God. I'm going to be faithful in my attendance, oh God Almighty, Lord Jesus, Lord. Because you are, and only you have my answer, oh God. Well, Lord, I'm just going to stand here and be angry and upset of my doubts. And I'm going to be whisked away on this path, oh God. Whisked away on this path of unbelief, oh God. And this path right back from the sin that you brought me out of, oh Lord. Lord, that you would help us today, oh God Almighty, Lord Jesus, Lord. Remove all pride, oh God. We need you more than ever before, oh God. Lord, if I ever think, oh God, that I'm so right, oh Lord Jesus, hallelujah, oh God, Lord, that you would humble me, oh Lord, because I need you more than ever, oh God. You want to take us to a place we've never been before, oh God. We're going to see new things, oh Lord. Lord, the enemy is going to attack. This flesh wants to creep up, oh God. I need to give you my doubts, my struggle, my pain, my insecurity, oh God. I need to give it to you, oh God, because I just want to be ready for your work and for your ministry. Lord, that you'd help us with our pride, oh God, to address what we need to do, oh God, to grow closer to you. Lord, we give you in glory and honor, oh God, and thank you for the blessings, oh God, and we thank you for the victories, oh God, and we thank you, oh Lord, for providing, oh God. But Lord, I don't want to be satisfied, oh God. God, I want you more and more, Lord. I want every blessing you got for me, oh God. I want every bit, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we give you glory in Jesus' name.